This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. 2016 may be remembered as the year that the city of Kalamazoo changed its financial fortunes. The city has accepted a $70 million private donation and is now working on creating a $500 million endowment for the new Foundation for Excellence. We're going to discuss finances and more with Kalamazoo Mayor Bobby Hopewell. Thank you for being here.
Good to be here. Thanks, Gordon.
Let's start off with that $70 million donation. What does that mean short term right now for the city of Kalamazoo?
Well, the intent of those dollars is to allow us to really build the larger foundation over the next 3 years. So the $70 million will support our city budget and the deficit that we are facing, a little over $3 million over the next 3 years. It will also allow us to lower property tax from around 19 mills to about 12 mills. And I always like to say that that's just the city property tax. It does not affect all the other property taxes that are that we all pay.
Like county and property taxes.
Yeah, the transportation millages, all of those things we are not responsible for. So there's some individuals that believe, oh, my property taxes are going to drop by 50% or something. That's not the case. But for the city property tax, it is the case. And then the last, the third bucket there would be all of our aspirational the community's aspirational thinking around how do we move this city to the next level. So we have Imagine Kalamazoo, our visioning process that's going on, and those dollars will go to support that. And also two other targeted areas, development of our youth and decreasing poverty in our community.
So the city is using something called priority-based budgeting to develop the spending plan for this year. Explain how that works.
So pretty much it's as it says, we've got to look at the budget and look at all of the things that we would like to accomplish and prioritize the level of importance that they may have and how much value they will bring to the city, to our citizens. And so it's a filter, I would call it, that really hones down all the way to everything from streets to sidewalks to parks. All of it's examined and put into a prioritization bucket, and that's how we determine how we'll move forward. And that's pretty much how we'll look at Imagine Kalamazoo and the ideas that come from our citizens. It'll go through a filter. And so not everything that comes out of Imagine Kalamazoo will probably be doable in 1 year or 2 years. So there may be a number of things that pushed out three, four, and what have you. And then 5 years from now, we'll be looking at a city visioning process again, see where we're at, how do we move forward, and go from there.
The city does plan to add some staff in this new budget, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Where would you say is the priority there? What do you think that staff is especially needed?
So there's two areas that staff is talking to us about the most, and that's in the area of public services. So that's all the public works, the water, wastewater, roads, infrastructure. The water and wastewater is an enterprise fund. So those positions will be funded through that fund, not the general fund that we talk about. The general fund primarily is used on doing everything else, public safety and parks and recreation and all of that.
So explain how an enterprise fund works. Is that a separate pot of money then?
Yes, it is. It's based per state law. If you have a fund where it's an enterprise where we receive fees or significant dollars for that system to run, those dollars can only be used within the system.
So the water and sewer bill that people pay, that money goes right to the enterprise.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And then the other area is public safety. We've had a lot of cuts in public safety over the years, and there's a lot that we still want to accomplish. There's such great work that the chief is doing around community policing, and we really want to shore up public safety. So those are the two main buckets. And then we will also have a couple positions to support the Foundation for Excellence work.
And speaking of public safety, body cameras, is this going to be something that will become kind of standard in Kalamazoo?
Absolutely. We've tested, I think, about four or five or six different units. We have a couple prototypes or testing going on, beta testing going on right now. And then 2017, I can't tell you when, but in 2017, we will have body cameras on our officers.
What is your hope for the property tax cut? Are you hoping that people will see that and decide that maybe in the past, if they haven't thought of Kalamazoo as the place they would like to buy a home and move, that now it's a little more appealing?
Well, I think any urban core community has to do whatever it can to have development happen in its city, to increase the residents that live there. And I think anything we can do to make Kalamazoo more inviting, we should be trying to work on. We have 54 or so percent of the properties not on the tax rolls. That's part of our big challenge. But we have great things like the Kalamazoo Promise, a Western Michigan university, row the boat, go the Broncos, and certainly all of the other things that we're doing in this community to attract people. This is just one more sprinkle on the ice cream, I guess I'll call it, and it will make us put us in the realm of competitiveness with other communities within our county and within our region.
Is it important that you're trying to maintain services and actually increase services at the same time that you're looking to lower property taxes?
It is interesting. This property tax lowering idea, certainly the thinking around it was what I just said. But with that, we have the opportunity to provide more and paying less. And usually it's, you know, you got to work harder with less. And we're in a unique situation that the city has not been in a long, long time. And we have to make sure we're diligent as we plan and develop all of the strategies to moving forward. It's going to be, though we have this opportunity, the true opportunity is how we do this work and how we plan to sustain all the things and all the efforts and all the services that we want to provide and the aspirations we have for Kalamazoo.
So, in terms of raising that money for the Foundation for Excellence, how heavy a lift do you think that's going to be?
Well, I called it a boulder. It was interesting that was put out there in the media. And what I meant, the boulder is the work, not the boulder of accepting this opportunity. I believe that with lead donors, certainly with myself and commissioners and others in this community, it's a lift we can make. I'm hoping and plan and thinking we can do that in 3 years. But if it takes 4 years, we'll figure out what's going on in 4 years and make sure that we're solid and sustainable to get to the mark. One of the things I've liked is that I've had a number of citizens that have said, well, hey, if my property tax goes down and I don't really need that, I'm going to put something into the foundation. I've had at least two people say that they're going to bequest to the foundation. So therefore, I'm just excited that anyone can be a philanthropist for this effort.
So you mentioned there that you want to do this in 3 years, but you look at four. So I guess what I'm wondering is it more important that you have the $500 million raised or at least pledged and wait a year if you have to do that, as opposed to saying, well, we've got most of the money and we can get off the ground? I guess I'm wondering, what's important in terms of the timing? Is it having the money, or is it getting the foundation launched, even if you have most of the money and think you're going to get the rest of it?
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that. What's most important there? What I'm trying to say is that we're going to work hard during the 3 years, and I'm planning for 3 years. But I do believe that we will raise dollars throughout that year and those years, and then that will inform, okay, this last year we've got to work this much harder. We've got to do these things. We need to move this way. So a lot of this will be informed as we dive into this work, as it comes throughout this year and over the next couple.
Let's assume for the moment that it'll take 3 years and you have this money and you're ready to go. How will the foundation then actually operate? Is it a governmental entity, or is it separate from the city of Kalamazoo?
Well, I think for the latter part of your question, it would be, I believe, separate from the city of Kalamazoo as an entity, but responsible and only intended for the work of the city. That would be my thinking. This is the question of the day. I'm probably asked this when I'm in the community at least once a day. There's still a lot of work to take place, and that will need to be done. You know, attorneys trying to figure out the right way. How do you make sure you're meeting all the tax codes and the IRS this or that and the nonprofit this or that? How do you ensure that governance is at the level, at the place where we want it to be, that your city has a lot of control, but also that we have citizens and those that that have an interest in making this happen involved as well. There's a lot of pieces to this puzzle. We're working on it. I would anticipate in the next couple months, I think we have to have something in by no later than May or June, something like that, where we have the foundation in place and we're moving forward. That doesn't mean some dollars might not be infused into the city prior to all of that happening. But my point is there is a lot going on and we're not quite there yet, but we're going to get there.
So you've mentioned the Imagine Kalamazoo sessions where people are sort of giving their input about what they would like to see the city focus on, maybe some of these aspirational ideas. At the end of the day, who's going to make the call on where this money goes, how it's spent, et cetera?
I would anticipate there will be a board for the foundation that will primarily be there to inform the commission what dollars are available, what's come in, what's been raised, all of that. And then it would go through our priority-based budgeting process. And so the Imagine Kalamazoo filters all of the things that they will do to sort of set priorities or place everything in their buckets. That information will inform the city commission as we go through our budgeting process, and that's how it will roll.
So ultimately, the city commission's got to decide how it spends this money, the same way it decides general fund money, enterprise funds, et cetera.
And I like to remind people that we have a $150 million or so budget that we handle every year since I've been on the commission, which is 14 years so or 13. We can certainly get to where we need to be.
How public will the donations be? How will we know who is contributing to the foundation? Is that something that becomes public record or not?
Again, you can establish this in so many different ways. For example, we have foundations in our community right now that we don't necessarily know where all the dollars came from, but some of the funds we do know. I would anticipate that this will be handled as most foundation work is handled. I think that we know some names of donors, at least our lead donors and lead partners. It's still up in the air how the dollars will be gifted and how they will be accepted into the foundation.
I know that you had some people come to the city commission meeting from the Michigan Council for Foundations, if I've got the title correctly, who gave some ideas. Are you kind of reaching out then, trying to talk to people with different, Kalamazoo Community Foundation, some other places, philanthropic groups, and get a handle on this right now?
Yes, we've talked with multiple groups. I have a few more to talk with. Certainly, we appreciate Council of Michigan Foundations coming in and working with us. They've met with us and come to meetings, and we've appreciated that, and I think they'll be a part of the ongoing work. We've talked to the LA Foundation that does similar work, the Mayor's Fund in New York, the Fund for New York, trying to learn some of their best practices and hopefully use some of that to inform and move our work forward.
So how different would this be for a city like Kalamazoo to do something like this? Because you just mentioned there's a couple of other foundations out there you're talking to. Is it still rare? And I guess, the cities you mentioned are pretty big. So would it be unusual for a city of this size, Kalamazoo, to have a foundation like this helping to fund, operations, et cetera?
Well, this is a large percent of our work and our budget. And most of those other foundations have specific purposes, so it may be around youth or the Mayor's Fund, I think, is about the mayor's priority in New York. What I would say is that if you look at what's happened within our community in regards to philanthropy, why would it be unusual for individuals in this community to take this type of interest? Someone woke up one day and said, hey, let's send everybody's children to school, maybe even your children, Gordon. So
A few years down the road.
I knew they weren't quite ready yet or a few years down the road. But this is how our community steps up. And if you look around, you see it in so many different ways and not typically on a building. You see it in the efforts and energy that is put into delivering opportunities for our citizens. That's how I see this. I don't view it in any way, different way. Yes, it's large. It's a BHAG. Let's think big.
But I guess my question is, are there other cities out there the size of Kalamazoo that have been able to do something like this? Or is this very unique to this particular city?
That's not research that I've done. Okay. I've pretty much looked at the places that were easy to know what was going on. I would submit to you, though, that smaller communities, maybe even smaller than us, have amazing partnerships. And this is a private, public-private partnership. And I would think that there's a lot of great work happening, not as specific as this maybe, but some great work happening out there in communities larger and smaller than ours.
Many times you have said, sitting right where you are now or in other venues, that the state is underfunding cities throughout Michigan, that local revenue sharing has been slashed, and that the state is really not fulfilling its responsibility. Does something like this become almost necessary for a community because of what you've said, that the state's revenue sharing is not where it was or where it should be when, you know, counted for inflation, et cetera?
I think every city in Michigan that receives state shared revenue is trying to figure out their path forward. For Kalamazoo, our deficit, as I said, is somewhere around $3 million. The state shared revenue we're not getting is somewhere in the neighborhood of $2.8 million. So pretty much our deficit. That's the example and I'd give in regards to what the state is or is not doing. And certainly those dollars are being used elsewhere, and so citizens may be getting value somewhere else. But I know that we as a city are not receiving that. And again, I like to make this point every time. State shared revenue is sales tax that happens within your city, within your community. Those dollars are supposed to come back to the community. So this is, everyone thinks that, oh, we're trying to get into some pot that's really the state's. And someone will argue with me, well, the Constitution and, you know, we're an arm of the state government, what have you. The dollars were intended to come back to cities and villages and towns and townships. That's not happening because they're using it for other things. These are our dollars, and we should get our dollars back. And I just like to make sure I make that point because someone invariably comes up to me, oh, you just want to dip into the state's pocket. No, I want to take out of the state pocket my money. That's what I want.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Kalamazoo Mayor Bobby Hopewell. So we're looking at a budget which is going to include a property tax cut, but at the same time, water rates have been increased in the city of Kalamazoo. Why was that necessary?
So we have certainly trimmed our staff in the wastewater area during the early retirement. I would say we didn't need to do that in that fund, in the water fund and enterprise fund, because the fund was there, certainly able to support. But we wanted to have a total city look at all of the areas, and everyone would be affected. So we trimmed too much, so we need to staff up. But part of that trimming process, when we trim those staff, that means water mains and other infrastructure that we have that is very much aging. We wouldn't have had and didn't have the personnel to be able to aggressively do the things we need to do when you have aging infrastructure. And this is really about shoring up the system, about being able to respond more nimbly and more be more flexible and getting at those challenges. We've had a fair amount of water main breaks, and some of that is related to weather. A lot of it is related to aging infrastructure. We have to have the individuals and the teams and the ability to improve the system, or, you know, like all of us, you get old, you're not taking care of your body, you're not maintenance yourself, things don't always work as well as they were before, and that's why we're really having to do this.
So you said some of it is weather-related, some of it is infrastructure. So would it be fair to say that if there are improvements made, you may not be able to eliminate every water main break, but there would not be as many of them if you're out there making, you know, repairs, updates, et cetera?
Well, as I said, things break. And as they get older, that will happen. So no matter how many people we have, we're still going to have things that will occur. But it'll give us the opportunity to be more flexible and have the ability to respond and do the remediation and recovery more swiftly, and also give us the opportunity to be a little more proactive and get a better handle on what's next, what needs to be replaced next, what road needs to be fixed next, all of those things.
What about lead water lines? Mm-hmm. We know that there are still lead lines in the city of Kalamazoo. The city works to try and replace them when they are aware of a problem, et cetera. But would that be perhaps part of the overall water infrastructure plan here is to maybe get more of the lead lines removed and replaced?
Yeah, I think it could even be part of the work of the Foundation for Excellence. This is where that line gets drawn between what's an enterprise fund work and what's not. A lot of these lead lines go right to homes, and then there's also lead in homes. My hope is that we have a lead abatement program, and I think that may come out of the Imagine Kalamazoo, but it also may come out of the prosperity efforts, the poverty efforts, because a lot of these homes are in not the best condition. Folks don't always have the dollars they need to upkeep. So I believe we will have an attack on lead lines and truly getting at a lead remediation, because it's not just lead, the water infrastructure, but it's lead paint in homes too. That is a worry. And from the water standpoint, we treat our water. Our numbers are really good, and we're going to continue to be more aggressive in our and analysis of our water and treatment of our water, but we're going to dive into this lead effort even more aggressively than we have.
Lead paint, would that be an even bigger undertaking? Because you're talking about going into these aging homes, and I mean, removing lead paint can't be easy if you're going to undertake. So would that be, you know, as much as we've been talking about water infrastructure and lead and pipes, of course, you know, based on Flint, would getting lead paint out of these aging homes be an even bigger undertaking in a lot of ways?
Yeah, I think it would be. Gordon, I live in a 104-year-old house, and I bet there's some lead paint under some of those layers that we haven't gotten to, and I'm going to get to it. But we had a lead abatement program. The county had a lead abatement program. I don't know when it ended, and it was doing a lot of this work. Old homes primarily are the challenge. I think how do you reinitialize that program if it was working and can meet the measures and all of that? I think that work has to be done somewhere. And this may be an opportunity to do that as we move the foundation work forward.
You mentioned that this could be part of a bigger anti-poverty program. How important do you see that in terms of the Foundation for Excellence, the Imagine Kalamazoo, trying to get at some of the root causes of poverty and trying, you know, it's poverty that I guess maybe lead paint could be seen more as poverty alleviation, making the mm-hmm. conditions better mm-hmm. for people who are living in poverty. Is that a big step and something that maybe, you know, decades down the line before anyone has fully accomplished that goal?
Absolutely. You know, we call it, as we've talked about this, ending generational poverty. And I've gotten hammered about that term. And what I would say is it's a target, and we should have big targets. I believe that there is much work we can do. There were programs that we had within this county and the city that were gaining on things like infant mortality challenges and lead abatement, as I mentioned, that no longer exist, but we were being successful. Why shouldn't we relook at some of those areas? Why shouldn't we be looking at the gaps that individuals have to financial stability and economic prosperity? And that's why when we were talking about the foundation, this item was so important, we set it aside, that it's not about Imagine Kalamazoo totally, or it's not part of the tax reduction, even though I think that helps alleviate poverty by giving a few more dollars into individuals' hands. But this needed to be targeted and looked at differently. It's long-term work. It's long-term work. But there are some individuals out there that are doing some great things and organizations that you turn up their dial a little bit, we can have some major impact. So this is one of the things I'm most excited about, that we have the opportunity to look at prosperity and work with it, with families and with working and improving job opportunities and certainly developing our youth. I think those three, we can really get at this.
And does that maybe get back to the city trying to partner in some way to help ensure that students are ready to take advantage of the Kalamazoo Promise, assuming that, of course, they're going to Kalamazoo Public Schools.
Yeah, we know education is the most important litmus for determining an individual's path of success and prosperity. And we know that the promise is an amazing responsibility, not gift, responsibility. And we've got to hold that responsibility up, maybe a little bit more or a little bit more aggressive than we have. It's been 10 years and we've had great success, but we have a whole host of other challenges. And I know that Kalamazoo Public Schools is working hard, Dr. Rice and his team, the folks at the Promise, communities and schools. What are the gaps and what are the opportunities? That's our next look.
All right. Let me note here in the last couple minutes that we have left with you that 2017 is an election year in the city of Kalamazoo. Do you plan to run for re-election as mayor?
I talk about elections when it's time to talk about elections. And for me, we have too many people talking about elections before it's the time to do that, and especially after this past year and this election. So what I'll say is that you'll hear from me when it's time. It's just not time yet.
When is the right time to talk about a November election?
I'll say probably sometime this spring you might hear something from a number of us as to what our plans are.
All right. Well, let me ask you, though, about the other thing that's going to happen this November, which is this will really be kind of the first election where we see the full effect of the changes that voters approved a few years ago, where we will only have 3 seats up on the city commission as opposed to 6 in 2015 and then usually 7 before that. You were someone who said that you thought these changes were going to be good for city elections. What do you think this means for voters when they go to cast their ballots?
Yeah, I think it really gives probably an opportunity to hone in more on the candidates that are running. Since it's 3 seats, you probably have fewer people running because they may see that there's less opportunities. So I hope that it allows citizens to really learn about the individuals that want to serve them. You'll have a mayoral election as well. And I think the last one certainly demonstrated that there's individuals that care about this community and want to help guide it in that leadership chair. I just think this is great for our city, and we'll see the effects, the longer-term effects. We'll see this after a number of years after this continues. So.
Of course, the mayor is still running for a 2-year term, but the city commissioners now run for 4-year terms.
Right.
Do you think that's beneficial that someone can seek a seat on the city commission and know if they win it, that it's going to be 4 years before they have to think about running for election again?
I think it's especially good this year as we're working on the foundation work. As you know, we're talking about this in a 3-year chunk. Well, in that 3 years, if it was the other way, 6 of these individuals could be gone, and then you're really changing everything. Not to say you can't in this next election have new blood, but you still have some of those individuals that know what was going on and are still committed to getting some of those pieces of work done that were established prior to the new election.
And is that something you think is also beneficial, you know, regardless of circumstances, that there will always be some continuity, that you will have 3 commissioners come back, even if you know, there's a change at mayor and a change in the other 3 spots. You will always have these 3 commissioners, assuming nobody steps down, who will still be on the commission after an election.
Yeah, I think it's very important to have that balance, that history. And this will be good for our city.
Kalamazoo Mayor Bobby Hopewell, thank you very much for your time. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you, sir.
The Kalamazoo City Commission will meet Tuesday night. A public hearing on the city's proposed 2017 budget will be held during that meeting, which begins at 7 o'clock at Kalamazoo City Hall. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.